Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
While most of you were tucked up in bed at midnight last night, thousands of gamers across the world queued to become the first to earn the latest offering in the shoot 'em up Halo series.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games, hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me, as always...
It's Ben Vanille.
Ben, oh.
Ben
Vanille.
Ben Vanille here.
Zero Ben Vanille.
Ben Vanille.
It's Ben Vanille here, Tommy, and may I say, cheers to you.
Mm. I don't know. Can you?
Can I?
Now, Adam Knox, can I say cheers to you?
You can't because I don't have a beer, but you two are celebrating the release of Halo Infinite.
We really did it.
It's been a long year trying to get it up to scratch. That's all I could think while playing it today. We are doing this right before you're hearing it. We're doing it later than we normally do because we wanted to have a full day to play it and get our first impressions down. And yeah, I am enjoying it, but all I can think about is like, God, I would love to see a build of what this was like a year ago when it was 2 weeks until coming out and
so
then they delayed it.
I believe your mate, Jason Schreier, has written an article about the tormented development.
Okay.
Tumultuous is the word I was more looking for. Development. And there's some interesting stuff that I've been seeing today on and off about, like, I haven't dived completely into it because I'm still playing it and you don't really want to read about it before that. But general stuff of like they cut out about 2/3 of it.
Okay.
I saw the open world stuff, right?
Yeah.
Specifically? Yeah.
It was meant to be bigger. There's like multiplayer maps that are like in sand areas and stuff like that. And none of that appears in the game.
That is right. Yeah, in the reviews, that's one of like the slight criticisms I've read is that the open world that you're in is basically the same environment for the entire map.
Right.
There's no real like mixing up of the environments or anything like that.
And it is a lot more focused than it isn't an open world game, I wouldn't even really say, in the sort of more accepted sense of what that makes you imagine. And having it had such a rough development and be 6 years of this like back and forth and throwing shit away and restarting and all this stuff, it is so surprising. And then cutting out a bunch of it, delaying it by a year.
Yep.
Delaying it by a year is crazy when it was so close to coming out.
Yeah.
So close, in fact. And I think we've maybe talked about this very briefly before. We had been asked if maybe we would do an ad for it.
Yeah,
yes.
We were going to go and like, you know, play it on the unreleased Xbox Series X and shit. My fucking Xbox box that I still have has a big picture of Halo Infinite on it being like, coming soon.
Yeah.
And
this was like, this was about to happen because this
was in
like
August or something.
It was like a month away from being released when it got delayed. And I remember
when we were having those talks, it was like August.
Yeah. It was to do in November or something.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Cut to a year later and we didn't get review codes. But back then.
Yeah. But like, and I, for the longest time, have just been thinking like that seemed to me to be such a like a signal of that there was bad stuff afoot with this.
Right.
I had kind of written it off in my head. I was like, even though that is the right thing to have done, and of course you'd be doing that to eventually make it good, which it now is, something about all of that just made me go, yeah, I think they've fucked it and they're going to do what they can to salvage it, but that doesn't make me feel good about what we're going to end up getting.
And that's what I was going to say, is that despite all of that, it is so surprising that this game is really fucking great and I'm enjoying the hell out of it.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no pixelated Shrek faces. What was that guy called?
Craig. He is in the game.
Right.
I found a little tribute to him earlier today. I won't tell you where.
Okay.
Because I don't remember.
But the brutes themselves and everything else look fucking amazing.
I like it.
Probably the first thing that struck me was like, this does look genuinely next generation to me. Like, I'm playing it on PC and it looks fucking great.
There's stuff that they, like, they're going to add ray tracing in the future, and, you know, there's some rough edges here and there and whatever.
A couple of textures took a while to load in and shit.
There's some weird stuff of, like, the facial animations and cutscenes are running at a lower frame rate than the rest of it, and you can notice it. It's really jerky.
Right.
And weird looking, and they have been like, yeah, we're going to fix that.
Oh, right, okay.
But it's fucking bits and pieces that, in general, especially with how well it performs and the fact that it runs on an original Xbox One,
right,
including very well on newer Xboxes. I think it looks great as well. Yep. And the art, I think, even though it is the same thing you're looking at in terms of environment for most of the game, it's a good one at least.
Mm. Yeah, they look really nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I played a bit of Number One this week. A chunk of that we did a YouTube video of that you can find on our YouTube channel, me playing the first two missions or one and a bit missions for the very first time. I then played a little bit more.
Oh, hold on. Your microphone is cracking out for some reason.
Ooh.
Cracking out.
He wasn't even moving.
No. But I think you were about to have a take so hot the mic couldn't bear it.
How's that?
Yeah, that sounds better? Good. Yeah.
I did the first mission in a bit for a video for our channel, and then I played a little bit more in my own time just to kind of get into the vibe of it, and then was going to try and do as much of it as I could, and then kind of hit a point where the slight little things of it, not so much showing its age, but little things like not getting objective markers and things like that. I was like, I don't want to burn myself out on this. I feel like I get it. I feel like I'm just in a good place now to just leave it and then pick up with Infinite. And even just having had that minimal exposure to Halo 1 earlier in the week, booting this up and it's like all the same enemies, but, you know, in a higher res, and the animations are better, and it's all a bit more lifelike and a bit more realistic looking. The effect on me as a complete, you know, newbie to the franchise a week and a half ago was really something. Like, that upgrade from the previous one I was playing felt awesome. So I can't imagine how good that is for a veteran like yourself, Knox.
Well, especially after the last, like, almost 10 years of Halo games they've put out have been a little back and forth.
Yep.
Or middling across the board almost. Like, I had written off Halo in my brain as a thing that had happened.
Yep.
And that I had enjoyed. And see you later. But it's literally sitting on that couch right there.
Wow, that very same couch?
I was screaming at myself. Sitting on that couch, looking at my reflection in the darkness of the TV when it would go to black.
Yep.
Halo's back!
Yep.
I'd yell it again and again. I haven't played barely any of the games.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it.
I just kept screaming.
Yeah.
It really feels like how those first three especially felt. There's bits and pieces that are so hard to put a particular button on, but they really evoke the
select. Yeah.
Sometimes Y, not on an Xbox controller, you wouldn't get the select. It was called back, but now it's just called like two squares on it.
Oh yeah, I don't like the two.
It's
squares
fucking
button.
Dumb. Two squares or three lines.
Yeah,
that's what you get for start, select, and start.
Two squares makes me think of on a PC when you change windows with Alt Tab.
Mm.
Yep.
I'm like, what is? What is this button?
It corresponds just as little to anything that you're pushing to do. So yeah, it's hard to really tell you why, but it feels, because so much has changed about it and been modernized, but it feels like those first ones did.
Yeah, and even like only having the most very limited experience with Halo, even coming into as essentially a newcomer to the series, it's still really fun. It feels great to play. We were trying to work out roughly how long into it we all are.
Yeah.
I think I've been playing it for maybe 4 or 5 hours. Spent most of today playing it with a couple of little breaks here and there.
Yeah.
So the intro kind of bit before you get into the quote-unquote open world is pretty lengthy. Like, it takes a fair bit of time to actually get to that bit.
Probably about an hour or something.
Yeah.
Right? It's like a couple of proper missions, and the second one is a little longer. It's similar to the first Halo.
Yeah.
And before it properly sort of opens up in the way that it does, you're looking at 4 or 5 missions, and then it will be like, okay, now you can sort of go around and do kind of all of these side things that are peppered all over the world now.
Yeah, yep. Right.
As you please.
Yeah.
Now, not to put you on the spot, but the big thing we were wondering, given that this is sort of a soft reboot, kind of, in the way that they seem to be marketing it to people who are like, either haven't played much Halo before or want Halo to be kind of more like it was originally. Mm. I kind of thought maybe there would be a bit of like a intro thing, like a previously on Halo kind of thing at the start, and there really isn't. And for the most part so far, I've found it pretty broad strokes and easy to kind of get my head around. But then it does start throwing some stuff at you where it's like, I don't know what this is, and there's no real explanation given. Now, Adam, would you mind, slash would you be able to give us a – for anyone listening to this who's going to come to this having not played a Halo, can you give us a bit of the back – give us the broad strokes that we need to know?
I reckon touch on each game.
Okay.
As little or as much as you need to.
Things that you think are important to know in this that it's not really telling you about.
I will say first that, like, I think I'm further in it than you guys, and the story is very much doing a thing that, especially that first Halo game, but most of them have done, where it's like there's a mystery and we're going to be very cagey about what's going on, and like we've got to fight these clearly bad enemies who are attacking us, but the deeper thing as to why we're not going to say, which I think has the problem of being like, so but why am I doing this? Because there's often sort of an existential threat of like, yeah, well, the banished will destroy humanity. It's like, well, will they? Why? They're just on this one, like, will they? Why?
So I'm just going in and I'm just destroying this.
It feels very Starship Troopers to me, which I love.
Yeah.
But it is very much like, well, we're the humans, so the people we're fighting must be the bad guys.
Yeah. And I mean, they look all fucked up.
Yeah, yeah, they look weird. They don't look like us.
Yeah.
And when we attack them, they fight back. So that's bad.
Yeah. It kind of is sort of that now, but The Banished are a splinter group of the Covenant who have disbanded, and a lot of the species who were in the Covenant are now friendly towards humanity in other parts of the universe. Yeah. But some other conflict has gone on here. Hey, Tommy, talk a little for me.
Yeah,
good. This fucking microphone. Hell yeah. If they can get Halo to work after 6 years of fucking hell, I should be able to get one mic with a new lead to
work. My mic's running on an Xbox One, so it's like it's not quite as good. It's a bit choppier. The frame rate's not quite up there.
Can you talk a little slower if possible?
Yeah, drop your frame rate down a little bit.
I think if you're going to come into this with nothing at all, I think that's fine to some extent.
Because I do too,
all you do really need to know is there is an antagonist group who do want to kill humans still. That is their goal. And it's for complicated reasons that you know, have a backstory to them. But they aren't really important because these guys just still do want to do it. And then a lot of the mystery stuff that is not being revealed early in this game isn't because you don't have the information from other games. It's because the game is withholding it from you.
Right. Okay. Right.
So the one thing that it's sort of doing is, so what do you think Cortana is?
She's the AI.
But why is she? But there's two AIs at least.
But she's gone bad at some point, right? Yeah. I mean, that seems to be, there's a lot of assumed knowledge there. Okay. I assume that's all stuff that happened in the last game.
That's the stuff from 5. And people didn't really like it. And it is part of why they're sort of going, that's and moving past it.
Because Cortana was in 1. And I think we probably played about the same in 1. I didn't finish it. Got about 40%, 50% of the way through.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, Cortana is your AI helper.
Yes. Here's, I'm going to try and do the quick thing you asked for.
Please, yeah.
Halo Reach is the last game that Bungie made, but it was a prequel. So in that one, there's a bunch of people get attacked by aliens on a planet. They don't know why. Humanity's never seen aliens before. The planet gets destroyed and they're like, what the fuck's going on? There's some aliens. And they get
sounds like the plot of Aliens.
It is similar to the plot of Aliens, but there's a controversial doctor.
Okay.
So it's aliens mixed with
aliens
Dr. Oz.
Aliens Resurrection. Dr. Oz.
She is responsible for making this thing called a Spartan program, which made children into soldiers, like mutated super soldiers.
Like in ancient Greece.
Yes. That's what they're Spartan 2s because of that. And that's Master Chief is one of them.
Right.
She's called Dr. Halsey.
Spartan.
A lot of fucking really gravelly low.
My name is, what's the guy? Iraq.
Yeah, something like that. There's, I don't think his name Iraq. Is Iraq.
The
main dude at the start?
No, that's Atriox.
There's Atriox and there's, I think his name is like Iraq. Natchez or something like that.
I think it's Iraq.
It's definitely not Iraq.
Definitely it is. We can go to the tape.
We don't need to because his name is definitely not Iraq.
It's not spelled I-R-A-Q, but I believe it is pronounced Iraq.
If this got someone over the edge who was just like, you know what, I got to download this game to find out if it's Iraq or not.
Yeah.
This could have been our ad. A year ago, this could have been us doing an ad for the game.
Yeah. And also, the first boss is called Tremendous.
Yep.
Esharim. He's the main bad guy.
Oh, that's not the guy I'm thinking of.
Is there a guy called Iraq?
Yeah, A-R-A-C-H.
Really?
Yeah. All right.
Well, anyway, you've got this enemy force attacks you, and you're like, what the fuck?
Are we in Reach still?
This is still Reach.
Yep.
And Dr. Halsey's like, I made this fucking AI, get it off the planet, and then you go. And the ship that takes it off the planet is the ship that you see at the start of Halo 1. Boomf, it's jumped into split space, gone to a random part of the universe to get away from this attack. And it's like, oh, fuck, there's a big ring here. Mm. What's this all about? Is this your mum's house? Why? How come there's this big
huge open wide ring
that wants all any alien it can find inside of it?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the Covenant are there too.
Yes. Mm. The Covenant are there and you're like, what the fuck? Mm. Anyway, so you fight on this ring and it turns out that the Covenant worship this ring. You found it by mistake. You're down on there with you, a Master Chief, with Cortana in your head.
Mm-hmm.
She's your helper AI, very powerful, the smartest AI that's ever been made.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going around this ring trying to figure out what it is. And it turns out, oh, fuck, it's a weapon. Maybe we can use it against the Covenant and win this war that we're now having with the Covenant. That'd be nice.
Mm-hmm.
We don't really know who they are, and we don't really know what this ring is, but we'll try and weaponize it.
Mm-hmm.
You do that. But it turns out that it's a weapon to destroy all life in the galaxy because at some point in the past there was a big...
This is the same plot as Mass Effect.
Yeah.
It really is. Yeah. The Citadel is this. Yeah.
And it's called the
same
Flood.
Plot. Fucking hell.
They're called the Flood. And they're like sort of symbiote, you know, take your body over type things.
Yep.
And they'll eat everything that is life. So they were like, oh, fuck, these people called the Forerunner went, oh, God damn it, we'll blow up everyone and restart life, and that will wipe out the Flood's food supply, and that'll do it.
Yep.
The Flood is still on this Halo. They get released, and then it's a whole bunch of shit, and then for 2 and 3, you're beating up the Flood. And the Covenant are like a religious organization of all these different species, and they think that the Halos will send them to the afterlife. So they're trying to activate them because they're like, no, this is the great journey.
We want to transcend. So they have the right idea, clearly.
Yeah, they get it. Everyone should die, and we just start over again.
Kool-Aid for everyone.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
My friend Jim Jones prescribed.
That Jimothan Jones is there.
Jones.
So then a bunch of more shit happens, but that's all you kind of need to know from him.
And then like Cortana goes
evil. Flood and Covenant. Yeah, Covenant end up losing. Some of the Covenant are still like, nah, we reckon. But most of them are like, oh, nah, the Prophets lied to us. We get it.
Right.
Civil War and shit. So AIs go rampant after a certain point.
Okay.
Right, like in Her.
They're too clever.
Right, yeah.
Their
yeah.
brains flip out.
Yeah. They're like, see ya.
They start gaslighting people.
Pretty much. And then so she starts doing that. She's like, I'm going to be rampant. Sorry. I'll have to be deleted. And Master Chief's like, oh, that sucks. And it happens, but she does it to defeat this old alien. There's so many stupid fucking things.
That is really...
And there's a whole bunch of books.
That's a huge move to have this, like, the kind of, like, helper person that's been talking to you for, what, 4 games at that point? 4 or 5 games?
Yeah.
To just, like, at one point flip it and go, now they're evil and we're killing them off.
Yeah,
straight
away.
That's a huge move.
Yeah. They killed her off at the end of 4, and then in 5 they brought her back, but now evil. And, yeah, people weren't into it.
Yeah, right.
So now you're
That
sort
sounds
of
like one of those things that you can't mess with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the game. That's what the game is.
Microsoft
mess with everything else.
Was using her, I think we said this in that video, was using her as their voice of Windows 10.
Right.
Because everyone loved having her as an assistant.
So right.
Like, finally, some Windows shit that won't annoy people. But Clippy turned evil back in the 90s. We all remember that.
Yeah. Yep.
And the same thing has happened to Cortana.
Yep.
Anyway, point is, it doesn't matter.
The sprinklings of like lore and old stuff that of like, you know, stuff that relates to the other games that are in this, I find myself going like, God, I wish this was just an actual clean break. Because the start of it is very organic. It's like you see like big fight, then it cuts forward. There's this dude on his ship. He sees Master Chief floating around in space, brings him onto the ship, brings him back to life. All right, we got to fucking work out what's going on. You go, all right, cool, I'm in.
Yeah.
I get this. I haven't played through all the others, but this all makes sense to me. This is all pretty self-contained. And then, yeah, you're hearing about an old evil AI and it's like, and then you're sitting through these long cutscenes. It's like, I don't know.
Also, though, I do think that it is doing that story that is the clean break and there's like a self-contained story in it on top of the little undercurrents of like the continuity stuff.
Little bits for the real heads, yeah.
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 Which is a shame that you're missing out on a part of what's there or whatever. And I don't know what the experience of seeing that stuff without the context is like. It might be very frustrating.
It's not frustrating, but I think it's making it a much more shallow experience narratively.
Right.
And I think the dialogue is not very good. There's a bit of like Cortana being a bit MCU Whedon voice where I just was playing it and was like, oh, this is not as bad as it's been in other games, but why does it have to be... Why is this in every game now? Like, it's Cortana all little, can be an AI that is just serious.
Yeah, it's all know? It's a little Marvel. Is like the tone that
because Master Chief is not. He's deadly serious.
I think that's
cool.
Yeah.
So like the tone of the first Halo in like 2001 was kind of that where Cortana was quippy because she was smart and she was an AI who was like, hey, look, I'm the smartest AI, whatever. Like you know.
I also noticed this about one when I was playing it is that it is a lot sillier than I had always assumed it was. Right. Like one of the very first things that happens is little alien comes at you, you shoot him and then he starts like flailing his arms in the air and running away and going, it's like, oh, this is like a cartoon. Yes. This is like so much silly. Like I always thought it was a lot more self-serious than it is, but like the whole like vibe of the dialogue and even like the enemy design in terms of like the main guys like the Banished, it's very Marvel. It's very like big grunty evil thing that I feel like we've seen a million times.
Mm.
Even though I know that Halo is like 20 years old now, so it's one of the first to do that.
Yeah.
But just as a matter of personal taste thing, like that those bits to me are feeling a little bit uninspired. Even though that's just, you know, that's just a matter of taste. I don't think that's like a flaw or a negative or anything.
Yeah, I definitely am not having that feeling, but probably because it's like I know that those things were fresh and cool 20 years ago, so I still have that in my head. And like I am enjoying all of the inter-alien dialogue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool, usually. Like if you're sneaking up to a camp, they'll be having a little chat about whatever.
Yes. Yeah. I noticed that. Yeah.
Stuff that plenty of games have done before, but it's...
Yeah, there was a section where I took out a big guy and then all like one of the little ones freaked out and went, oh no, our elite's gone.
Yeah.
Because they're now just like left defenseless. Like all that sort of stuff is cool. And again, just coming from the leap in one where all they really do is yelp and then in this they've all got like, a bunch of specific lines of dialogue. That is repeating a bit, but again, it's like, what do you do? They're not going to sit there and record 4 billion lines of dialogue for the aliens on the off chance that you might hear them. It's a video game.
They are reacting to pretty complex combat situations because there's a lot of different stuff, and that's the main part of this game is shooting things.
Yep.
And it is also the most fun part of this game where, like, it always was that you had your gun and you had your grenades and you had a melee thing and you drove around in vehicles. But the addition of, they've tried it in a couple of the games, adding like equipment that would like, in Halo 3, you could throw down a big shield and all that stuff. But it never really was that interesting. Mm-hmm. And this time they fucking nailed it with the grappling hook.
Yes.
As far as my definite advice is upgrade that thing fully straight away. Mm-hmm. And then you can fly up the sides of mountains basically. Right, yeah. And it's so much fun and it is so useful in fighting things. Like you can shoot it at one of the jackals with their shield and it'll knock their shield back.
Yep,
and
yep.
All sorts of different, like you can shoot it at someone in a banshee or a ghost or whatever in a vehicle and then go to their vehicle and hijack it. And it really does feel like another cog in this like little Halo combat dance.
Yeah, using it to take over a little... flying car thing was great.
Yeah.
Flying car thing. Is that the technical name?
Yeah, I think it is.
All the different guns, like you are exposed to kind of new ones like pretty constantly. Like you're always finding new ones dropped around the way. And just that it's so satisfying just working out like you try them all and then you go, okay, these are the bunch that I really, really, really like.
Yeah.
So you know, when you do find a new, when you've had to get rid of one because it's completely run out of ammo, and then you find a new one, you're just so wrapped when you get it so that you've got your like favored loadout on the go at any time. All the variety of guns, how different they all feel and function really does feel like a thing that is It's very, that's very old school first person shooter.
Yeah.
I feel like Nintendo 64 kind of shooter.
Sure,
era,
right.
Where it was like, let's have big bombastic guns. Let's right. give them to you early. Let's not like, yeah, have like five that you get over the course of the game and then you've just got them all for some weird reason.
Right.
Like having to make those decisions between swapping around and yeah, do you hang on to this one and maybe wait to try and find more ammo? That part of it I'm really loving. I'm really enjoying all of it. I'm loving it. It's great.
Almost all of the guns are fun to use as well. There's a few kind of duds in there for me at least, but like for the most part they're, and it does a good job of keeping the ammo limited enough that you do have to swap around, especially in the linear sort of campaign missions, which do, so the structure of it being different from the older Halo games, it's not an open world in like a traditional kind of sense. I wouldn't go in expecting that.
No.
It's closer to, it reminds me of, not exactly, but how something like God of War does it, where it is a linear game and then there's these sort of side objectives that you can go and do off to the side. Do you see the comparison?
Yeah. It's still a map that is pretty free for the most part, but it's just not like a huge sprawling.
Yeah, and I guess it's more focused and it's kind of more, I'm having more fun with it than the most recent Far Cry, at least. Because it isn't, I wouldn't say it's that.
No,
I wouldn't say
not
it's
at all.
Quite Far Cry. It's more.
I think it is more God of War. It's
you know what I mean?
With a slightly more, it's more Gears of War 5. It's like, there's a big open area you can drive around in, but that area is just a thing to have. The entrances to missions.
And
those are big linear missions
like that
are pretty
more,
typical of the previous games.
Yeah. I feel like that's more interesting at this point. It's like we're all a bit, everyone's a bit fatigued on open world games. Even the really good ones still feel like all the other ones. So it is more interesting to go at this point, hey, let's just pare this back. And like it's almost like the Mario 3D World games where they go from like big open, not open world, but those, you know, 12 worlds that are like you're trying to find all the stars in there, to just being like, hey, let's make these little 2.5 dimensional levels that aren't fully open, like they're still A to B, but they've got a bit of room in the sides. It kind of feels like that. It's linear, but there's room around the edges to move around in, rather than just being a big thing that you get into the start of and then there's just a million objectives. Like I think it would be really boring if it was that.
It does kind of open up wider, and there is a point where you can kind of do that to yourself if you want to, but like having said that it's all fun, some of them aren't the most interesting, you know, objectives that you get given for these open world little things. It all boils down to the same thing of like, here's a little arena and fight these covers
for
a while. So, which is fun to do, but they're not particularly inventive or like you're not doing anything crazy or unique in any of these spots.
Yeah.
And there is a little bit of that dead air of walking from A to B.
Where in a traditional open world you've got more environmental stuff, like you've got villages.
That's the problem of it, like an Assassin's Creed or whatever. Is just so much of those games is like I'm just traversing a big empty map, and you are sometimes doing that in Halo Infinite still.
But then I guess maybe something like Skyrim or Oblivion or those games have programmed in more sort of emergent stuff to make those long treks interesting, because it is half of the game.
Yeah. This is meant to be kind of an abandoned planet with a bunch of outposts in it.
Right,
so the
right.
space between them by design is empty because that's narratively what's going on.
Yeah.
Whereas, a different kind of like an actual open world game, it's like, you pass little villages along the way and there's kind of, you see little chatter and stuff going on. There isn't really, that I've seen yet, there isn't really any of that where you're like,
I haven't seen it either.
Observing people kind of just hanging out, which
or even
seem like there is in this little planet.
Even really like side missions that aren't the main missions. You're not getting into cutscenes and doing things for people that aren't that main campaign. It's spots on the map where you have things to collect. But it does feel weirdly less Ubisofty than that makes it sound. If you can kind of see what I'm saying.
Yeah, because I don't know if this is accurate, but it seems like they're completely optional, genuinely optional. It's not really going to improve the way you play through the main story that much. Like, I'm getting the feeling at this point where I've done a couple of the open world things and done a couple of the missions after you're in the open world of like, I could just go from mission to mission and that will feel like a linear game and that'll be a good game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could barrel through just mission to mission pretty happily in this, because you do get upgrades and you get like things for completing these things. You get like either like a unique weapon that you can call for at your forward operating base things, which are the sort of fast travel points you find. And you get like little points to spend upgrading your hookshot. I forget the grappling thing.
Yeah. Or like shields and stuff. Yeah.
You get different abilities as you go on, and you can upgrade those. But they're not enormously different when you upgrade them. They can be cool, but if you want to avoid all that stuff and just play this like it was a Halo game,
the shooting's the real thing that's gonna. You're not gonna be like gonna reach a point where you're like, I can't get any further because I don't have all this stuff upgraded.
Yeah,
the shooting's still the thing that you're going to need to be good at. So yeah, you could avoid all of that stuff.
100% if you want to. But it is fun because the core gameplay of this game is extremely good.
Yeah, and the actual like missions so far have been great. Like the main story stuff. So I'm kind of in the same boat as you, Ben. I can't see myself being too bothered by doing all the extra side stuff. Maybe just a bit like if I've just done a big long bit and I kind of want to do a little bit more like before calling it a day,
right?
But I want to do another full mission. It's like, oh, you know, I'm right near a base. I may as well just go and do that.
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem to me like there's huge motivation to go and do all the extra stuff, and that's fine. Like, it is definitely a lot more linear than
it's not Red Dead 2,
the biggest, most open Halo, which is the way they're marketing it, would have you believe.
Yeah, it's just the most open Halo that we have so far.
Yeah, and I assume that's what the extra year was, right? Cutting back the map, is that what you're saying before?
That kind of sounded like what it was, and refining it to be stuff that actually worked. And like, if it was this, but also three times as much, it might be up to the point where you would get fucking sick of it.
It just might have felt very sparse, and they might have been going, this, they probably were like, this just now is going to invite comparisons to Far Cry, because it is a big, open map with camps that you have to clear out, but with just less flavor going on in between those camps. So why not just refine it and do what we're good at and just have it be basically, an old Halo game where you are going bang, 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 mission, 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 but just, it's a bit, rather than going out into a menu to go to the next bit, you're actually walking from A to B to the next bit.
And look, it's not that far off of Far Cry, but it's the most fun one that I've played in a long time, I guess. Looks great, plays great. I'm enjoying the story as someone who, you know, has that 20 years of Halo nostalgia behind them. So it definitely is made, I suppose, with someone like me in mind, which was enjoyed them, got kind of not happy with the direction it was going in. Not happy with it, like angry.
Yeah.
Because that's how people have been fucking mad at them for the multiplayer and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Real stupid.
Yeah.
But like, just lost interest to some extent. And my interest is fully back, and I can't wait to finish this game and then see what they're going to do with it going forward, because they've said that they'll be adding stuff to this.
Oh, cool.
There's already a bit of talk of like the first single player sort of expansion thing that they might do. So it will keep going in the future.
The music's really great too.
Yeah. Fantastic music.
Loving the music.
Man,
it's always been good.
It
Halo's back. You hear that?
It does strike me as like, I don't know, a little shallow or something with the story. And even not just like the story, but just like, oh, we're just kind of going from objective to objective. Like, and it was sort of the same with Gears of War. I found of like, well, there was a bit more flavor with Gears of War 5 of like, okay, there's a weird character that you have to go and meet, you know, and that's the impetus. But and I had this with Halo 1 as well of like, it just feels like you're going forwards. It doesn't feel like there's not a lot of cutscenes where you're like having genuine conversations with other characters, you know, like Master Chief, he's nothing to me, you know, like
they end up
I don't know who this guy is. You don't see him ever. His voice is terrible. Right. He has like a real smoker's voice, like a real like, okay, now let's go, dude. Like,
yeah, I like his voice.
He doesn't sound like a Duke Nukem even.
Yeah.
I think it's that. It's like all his conversations are with an AI. You know, there's not a lot of like character building, and it's all sort of like someone tells you about the world and the story.
Sure.
But the guy that you are is just like,
funnily enough, the
not
personality
really
is
a character.
Yeah, the personality is all in the enemies.
Yeah.
Funnily enough. Like, yeah. Yeah.
Well, and there's more of it that comes in the story that I'm up to the part of the game that I've gotten up to. And it's not necessarily amazing, but it's definitely there. Like a more sort of personal tone and stuff starts to develop. But also, like, the thing with his character is that he was, like, a repressed fucking, like, deliberately had his personality knocked out of him thing. I'm not saying it's the most interesting thing in the world, but there is, like, a reason for that stuff. And I've never been bothered by it, to be honest. Because in that first, he talks more in this one than in Halo 1, where he's just like, yep. Like,
I don't think I'd heard him talk at all in one.
Barely
in
the does.
That I'd played. Yeah,
he has like one line at the start of it, and I was like, that's his voice, but I don't think he talks again, really.
Yeah.
That stuff is kind of more there with, but it is like, it's not huge and it's not a dramatic or certainly not melodramatic or whatever type of story in some ways.
I mean, I like the kind of just going.
It progresses more from what I've seen.
I like the just kind of going forward bit because it's very like old school video game.
Right,
like
that's
what I found when I was playing one. It's like, yeah, this is like GoldenEye where you're just like, you're in a corridor and you're just kind of always pushing forward and it's very no nonsense. And then, yeah, you're in a little arena, got to do all these, you know, turn all these things off at the same time as all these hordes are coming. Yeah. And it's like, all right. There's no fucking around. There's no like,
it is very
nothing
like,
complex about it. You just, and those bits so far are all very well designed and they're fun to be in and they're fun to fight in. So kind of like, yeah, cool. They seem to have gotten the formula of what they do in these games down pretty well. And again, that's coming from someone with no attachment to the series whatsoever. I think if you're in the position of me and Ben where you're not like a diehard, I think it's still worth giving a go, especially if you've got Game Pass, as is always the case with most things that we talk
and
about.
And you can get Game Pass for $1 for 3 months or something, so it's crazy. And I do think that, yes, you are right that like the story is very much like you have the same objective from the start, but along the way it's like, Chief, we forgot to turn on the light switch and we can't go into the kitchen before the light switch is on.
Yeah.
Well, let's turn it on.
Now we can go into the bathroom to look for the thing to turn on to unlock the front door.
It is very like, now there's another gizmo.
Right.
So
we've left this planet and then our ship got shot down. We've planted on this other planet. So we've got to fix the ship and go to this other. You know, it's very, I don't know, I guess I want more, you know, from my shooters. And it's not that, it's more that I could see myself just not finishing this game because I'm not like, what's going to happen
invested,
at the end? You know, I'm like, oh, well, if I want to play another mission where I blow up a few things and fight off a boss and go over here and jump around, it's a great game for that.
Yeah.
But to keep me hooked for like 40 hours or 30 hours, I'm not sure. I think maybe it's like the protagonist. I need someone a little more interesting or something. I don't know.
Yeah, he's kind of closer to like a Gordon Freeman or whatever where there's not much behind the eyes type of thing. But like there kind of is after the – but like to say like all you have to do is have 20 years of having given a shit about Halo.
But like, it must be hard to make a game like this where like everything about it that you and I are saying, Ben, is just a thing of being tethered to this thing that started 20 years ago.
Right.
Where that like silent protagonist, that's very of its time. That's so that era of video games where it's like the main character in games basically never spoke or had personality because it's just too hard to program in, and that was really just starting to come out of that era, but still very much around that era. So you want to make this game that's like, you know, fresh and can welcome in new people, but you are still, it's like I was saying about a lot of the character design, it's like you are just tethered to certain things by virtue of the fact that it's a 20-year-old franchise. Like you can't really go in and shake things up too much. Like you kind of just have to go like, oh, this is, we're making a new one of these. Like it must be, I'm sure there's people in there just going, let's just fucking blow it all up.
Yeah.
Well, maybe, and that's probably what the issue was a year ago. They went, hey, we've just made it all completely different. Oh, hang on. No, this is not what people are going to want.
No, because like I remember having the same feeling about Halo 1 for a long time that it felt like that to me. And then at some point didn't, because the story that is in there isn't presented well necessarily in narrative terms.
Yeah,
in that game.
Yeah.
And now, like, it is impossible to ask someone coming to this as, like, essentially their first Halo game, like, no, but Master Chief used to just say, okay. And now he says, okay, let's do it. And that's character growth. I'm like, because I am seeing that. I'm like, wow, he's way looser now.
Yeah. You know? He's riffing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and like, man, Cortana's had an effect on him. And like, oh, he must miss. Like, it's shit that really does rely on. It's like watching Quantum of Solace. Do you remember watching Quantum of Solace, the second Daniel Craig one?
Unfortunately, yes.
And it was the first time I remember James Bond having continuity really explicitly. And I fucking hated that movie because it wasn't what I was looking for out of it. And I didn't get any effect from it because I didn't remember fucking Casino Royale, because that's right. The point of a James Bond movie is that they go like a bullet through one ear and out the other.
Yep.
And
if you get shot in the temple.
If you get or if you get shot in the face by one of those by a bullet that explodes on the hard part in the middle of your brain. Yes. You all have, right?
Mm-hmm.
anyway, it's kind of like that where it feels stupid to be like, nah, but there's more to it, because like there isn't more to it from what the game is showing to someone who is new.
Yep.
And it has that self-contained story in there that is a little more straightforward of like, I'm the narrating bad guy and I love to twirl my mustache.
Destiny 2, I think, had that pretty much the same. Of
which,
like,
makes sense, right? Because it's the same sort of lineage.
Absolutely. But it reminded me of that. But Destiny 2, I was a bit more into. I think it was a bit more creative with those early missions and, you know, it looked a bit better, strangely, to memory at least.
Right.
A bit more interesting with the designs. But yeah, I don't know. I think it's maybe just a bit old school for my taste, which is the same with the multiplayer. Like, I had the exact same experience.
Yeah.
Of being like, what? It's not like, you know, I've been playing Fortnite recently. I played Call of Duty for years. Like, this, I'm not in the right zone for this.
You know what is in the right zone? The second T zone. The T that's down near your P.
The testicle zone?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Just more like the shape of a T. You know, you get the T zone on your face.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You get acne, and I'm just saying I get acne all over my...
Okay,
right.
I think it's acne. Yeah. I'm just sliding into...
Going into the sexual health clinic, can you pop these pimples for me that are on my dick?
Can I get some Clearasil?
Okay, sir, I'll just pop that one. No, that is my dick.
That is my dick. Yeah.
See, Ben just wants more from his narrative and his story.
Where are their real jokes? Where are their real quips? Well, you can take care of your T-zone with Manscaped.com's products.
Yep.
Our beautiful sponsors. They've been with us for months now. They support Filthy Casuals.
Mm-hmm.
And they support you tidying up your downstairs area.
They sure do. They support you.
Visitors
getting
are coming
a gift
round
for someone.
Tidy up downstairs, yes. And especially this. You hear that? I think Santa's on the roof.
The fridge? Oh.
it's Christmas is my
name by that. Santa's on Adam's roof. He's scoping it out so he can break in on Christmas.
To steal all my presents. Yes. Give them to other fucking kids.
Yes. Who deserve them? You don't have a chimney, so he's got to do a bit of diligence before he drops in.
Yeah.
What he would find, though, is you already have Manscaped's products.
And there'd be a very happy and confused child at Christmas getting them. But they are great gifts for Christmas, Manscaped stuff. If you don't know what Manscaped is, it's trimmers for cleaning your balls and stuff. I don't think we've even said that so
grooming.
Far.
Male grooming products. Technology.
Yeah.
The latest in technology is the Lawnmower 4.0.
Female grooming is a bride.
Oh. Yeah.
So, yep.
Or it's a legal issue.
You may now kiss the female groom.
we've been using their trimmers since we've started working with them. They've sent us the latest one. It's fucking awesome. You can use them on whatever part of your body that you want to, because they're very safe. They have a little light on them.
Mm-hmm.
You can wash them with water, although they're not 100% waterproof, so don't dunk it in the bath.
No, don't shave your balls if you're a shark.
Yeah, well...
Because you've already got scales.
Yeah, scales.
Yeah.
It's not a descaler.
More like that. No, you can't use it for that.
But you can use it to shave any hair on your body.
Yep.
I'm going to say that.
Also, don't shave your balls underwater if you're a human, because if you do nick yourself, which is unlikely with Manscaped stuff, but if you do, then the shark's coming for you.
That's it.
That's very true.
But they got the lawnmower. They've also got the nose and ear hair trimmer as well. You can get yourself a little gift pack over there. Yeah. At manscaped.com.
And but Tommy, I've only got 80% of how much they cost. That's all I have in my gift budget.
Well, Adam.
Yeah.
Have you got the following keys on your keyboard?
I've already tuned out. Say it quicker.
If you go to manscaped.com and use the code FILTHY, you can get 20% off and free shipping.
Oh,
yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Now it's in my Christmas budget.
You really got in my head. I was like, wait, how much percent is that?
But yeah, I mean, you know, you got to spend a lot of money around Christmas. I know I've been buying a bunch of presents for my family. And if you get the opportunity...
Your biological family or your podcasting family?
I'm unwilling to say.
Fuck.
Because you know what I want is new microphone cords. That's what I would love to get.
I might actually be able to do it.
I need to
that.
Do it soon.
What I want is a t-shirt that says, I am Rosie.
Okay, apologies to my sister. I got to get you something to replace that. But yes, obviously, you know, everyone's spending a lot of money at this time of year. So if you can save a little discount code.
Oh, you absolutely should.
Fucking jump on it.
You'd be mad not to.
You'd be crazy not
Manscaped.
To.
Manscaped.com, filthy, 20% off, free
That's
shipping.
It. You know,
you know what to do now. Yeah, Halo's great.
Halo's great. I'm enjoying it.
It's very fun. It's
I really enjoyed all the time. Yeah, I put most of today into it.
Yes.
Big chunk of time, and was still kind of having to pull myself away from it at the end of that session, which generally, you know, an hour or so on something, even if I'm loving it, is about my max, and I was still, you know, still really enjoying everything it was throwing at me.
Have you been enjoying anything else lately, Tommy?
I have been enjoying a game by the name of Solar Ash.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
I didn't expect the answer to be yes. I thought we were wrapping up. I wouldn't have asked you otherwise. No.
Oh, we're wrapping up?
No, we aren't.
Do the ad right at the end? Yeah, Solar Ash. It is by the company Heart Machine.
The title is about a French doctor giving you bad news, right? So, Le Rash.
Oh, I thought it was
she
about.
Is not good.
I thought it was about the protagonist from Pokemon, but he was a son.
Yeah, yep. It could also be that. Yep. He's all someone's daughters. Yeah. He's all someone's son. Yeah. We're all someone's son.
A third one. Yeah, so it's by the by the company that made Hyperlight Drifter.
Oh, okay.
Which I never played.
Right.
Did you guys play it?
Yes.
No.
It was very difficult.
Yes.
Very, very hard. Reminiscent of. Fuck, some other game like that.
What's going on in here tonight?
I don't know, man. I've been exhausted all day and it's not because of Halo. It's fucking, I'm really, really tired.
I'm a bit zonked as well, but...
But I just can't remember what the game is.
What's game a difficult
is.
Game?
Oh, I mean...
Don't say Dark Souls.
No, but it's more like... it reminds me of Bastion. It reminds me of those sort of...
It was like a top-downy kind of combat.
Yeah.
I think I got it and then never ended up playing it, but someone recommended it to me recently off the back of... Maybe saying that I enjoyed Death's Door. I talked about something on this that I really enjoyed.
Death's Door.
And that person was like, oh, you should check that out. So maybe I will go back into it.
It's much harder than Death's Door, though. Right. I will say that. I love the aesthetic of it.
Yeah.
Even just like, cut scenes at the very start. Like the composition is really, really like slick and cool. I just couldn't play it. Like I couldn't get through it.
So this isn't as tough. This isn't a game that's like meant to be very, very, very difficult. But it has that similar aesthetic, although it's not a 2D pixel art thing. It's like a 3D platformer where the premise is basically there's a big black hole that has sucked up a whole bunch of planets. You play a void runner who your planet is on the cusp of being sucked into this black hole. You've gone into the black hole to try and sort of destroy it from the inside. And in doing that, you're kind of visiting all these little planets that have been sucked into it in the past.
Right.
And so basically...
That could never happen in real life.
actually... so you're in... So the but basically the formula of it is that you'll go to an area and there'll be these little... It's kind of... I read it described as halfway between like a Jet Set Radio and a Shadow of the Colossus. You're in an area and there's like a big, big... They're called a remnant, big kind of creature kind of stalking around. And before you can get to them, you have to do these little challenges where there's these like little bits of kind of ooze that'll be around the area that you have to find. And there'll be like a weak point in it that you hit and then you kind of see like a little track appear to the next part that you have to hit. And so you kind of have to skate around and get there quick enough because it's like on a timer. Right. And if you don't get there in time, then you have to like reset. So they're kind of these like little mini puzzles that are more about kind of traversal and dexterity and just kind of like working out how to hit these five different weak points quick enough, because there'll be stuff in the way or you'll have to like find a little rail that you can glide around. So you do them and then you do a boss in that area, which is the same sort of thing, only now you're on the back of one of these big creatures as they're kind of like walking around.
Right.
So it's basically you're skating around this world, picking up little bits of plasma to upgrade your suit, and then, yeah, doing these little kind of mini time challenges that are just in like these one little area, and then you're sort of like, yeah, going around the little world trying to find where the next one of those is. And there's typically, there's like five of them in each world. It's got like a cool vapor wavy kind of soundtrack. It's sort of cyberpunky kind of, but like, yeah, that same kind of color palette in from Hyperlight Drifter. So like lots of pinks and like bright purples and bright greens. And yeah, it feels really fun to play. You're kind of holding down L to kind of skate around and get a bit of extra speed. So it feels very fluid.
I'm holding down W usually.
You're on the keyboard.
That's more what I'm like.
Yeah.
No, I just mean like rather than L's, I'm more into W's.
Oh,
that's what I'm holding down.
Fuck.
And I've just got them held down on lockdown.
You're holding down the comedy on this podcast.
Yeah, I'm on.
He's certainly holding it back.
I'm on fleek. Mummy? Sorry, mummy? That's when I learned about.
Right, right.
It's when someone's got big knockers.
Yeah.
You go, mummy?
Yeah. Just when was the last time you did that?
About 2 days ago at my parents' house.
Okay. But yeah, it's really, really fun. I'm really enjoying it. The aesthetic is great and it's very Moorish. It's not a super long game. I haven't really seen many people talk about it. I feel like if it's the kind of thing where if it was on Game Pass, I think a lot more people would be kind of checking it out. But the movement in
It's PS5, 4 and PC at the moment, right?
Yeah. So the moving around, the skating around in it feels just really good, really fluid. You feel really kind of fast and in control at all times. It's a 3D platformer that's made by a not huge team, so it does have a couple of little, you know, some little camera issues here and there, and then the odd little thing of like, there's a couple of bits of the controls that I find slightly fidgety at times, but nothing that I would say is too much to its detriment. I think it's great. It's really creative, very like striking aesthetic, and I think it's really worth checking out. Maybe it'll be on Game Pass at some stage, or there'll be a sale or something, but yeah, I think it's really, really fun. I think it's very worth checking out if you look up some videos and stuff on it. And I think if you like the aesthetic enough to want to go in, you'll really enjoy it. Like those couple little issues, I think, will be enough that you can overlook them.
Nice.
With all the rest of it.
Well, I mean, we all, Solar in Ash. A way, saved $90 on a AAA game.
Well, with, yeah.
You know, I just downloaded Forza 5. You know, like there's so many ways to justify spending money on a cool indie game.
Yeah,
right?
Like, a game that is a bit, it's flying under the radar a bit. Like, yeah. I feel like when it got announced, I was like, oh, wow, that looks so cool. I can't wait to play that. And then I sort of almost forgot it was coming out. I think it's also the fact that it's coming along at the end of the year and I think it's getting maybe a little bit buried by other stuff.
Well, Halo's been big. And you know, like we said, like you said, the multiplayer is completely free.
Yes.
And then the single player is very easily cheap.
Yeah.
So it is a weird time to be releasing a game that doesn't have those sort of options.
Yeah.
And I think they've maybe, I think full credit to that team for making a game that does look and feel very different to Hyperlight Drifter.
Right.
But I think that's maybe shot them in the foot, because for the people that love that game, they maybe don't even realize that this is the same team or that they have another one out. So
right.
I think it's admirable that they've sort of expanded their scope a little bit.
Mm.
But I feel like that's, maybe been to the detriment of it being on people's radar.
Because this was in initial PS5 presentations and stuff, right?
Yes. Definitely. We've seen it in a bunch of things. I do. I've been aware of this one as well. So I am surprised that, there hasn't been much fuss, because Hyperlight Drifter was one of those kind of indie darling ones where everyone was talking about it for
early
a patch of
pixel
time
art, and the pixel art was it came along at the right time when pixel art was still striking, and this was doing a very striking thing with pixel art.
Mm. And it was sort of like a Hollow Knight thing of like difficult exploration, which was starting to pick up steam as like a new genre-ish or a revival of a genre almost.
Whereas this is trying to do like a kind of cartoony, pastel-y, Shadow of the Colossus kind of thing.
And when you say Jet Set Radio meets Shadow of the Colossus, I love the sound of that.
Yeah.
Neither of those games did very well, is my understanding.
Totally. They're both very... Yeah, it's... I don't know what it is. I don't know, because it seems like it was... I mean, you know, Sony were giving it a big push by having it in their presentations, but then I haven't seen them do too much to let people know that this is right out. It's very strange.
Are they just going like, this is Halo week, we'll give it a push later on? Because
I think because it got delayed by like a month or something.
Oh, that's fucked.
It wasn't always going to be coming out this week.
Right.
So, yeah, that's not good for them.
It's not great for them.
Because the other big game this week is, well, and depending on who you ask, you could ask a random person.
I'm asking you.
Me?
Yep.
Well, I tend to know. Because if you were going to ask people who were like someone who was just living in the wilderness, they might not be able to tell you.
What's the big game this week if you're living in the wilderness? Rabbit.
Oh, no, no. Reindeer. Right?
Well, around here it's rabbit and I do not eat well. It's the biggest game we can get.
I'm fucking starving.
Final Fantasy 14 Endwalker is like the new expansion. And
if you ask a weeb...
I'm sure that...
If you ask someone who's extremely online...
Yeah. Well, that I am extremely online, and there's an extremely high amount of people online trying to get into the queues of this. I thought I'd give it a little... Because I started playing Final Fantasy 14 earlier this year.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it and dipped off and didn't renew the subscription thing and thought, I'll go back in. It's a big mustache. Here we go.
Dipping dots.
And yeah, it's not holding up well for launch. Yeah, you just sit there for a while. It helps maybe being in Australia. I'm on a server that's like the unofficial Australian server, but it's technically a Japanese server.
Right.
Right.
And you just sit there and it says you're 2137th in the queue and you go, all right. And you leave that on for a couple of hours, come look at it and you're like, not back in. All right, see you soon.
Whoa.
There's not much they can do about it.
Yeah.
It sounds like, because they, it is largely due to the parts shortages around the world that they haven't been able to add enough new servers to.
Right.
Right.
They offered the companies who would have sold them the servers double the asking price, and they were like, we literally cannot make them for you.
Wow.
Apparently. So that is the reason for it this time. But it always is something that happens around the launch of online games in particular. Sure. And it hasn't been that bad in my experience, and that game's still fun.
Nice.
That's
nice.
My review of it. Yeah, fun game. Pretty good time, walk around. And they've also said that anyone who was like signed up and has been experiencing it, or just everyone who was active subscription before like the 7th of December will get a free week
of
game time to make up for it, and maybe more later if it keeps going.
Are you paying for it?
Yeah, you got to pay.
Right. Because
you got to get in there with a bit of money.
I refused to. No, I was playing the free bit.
Right.
And it's great. It is fun. It's one of the best that I've played. I think maybe Elder Scrolls Online was a bit more to my taste.
Sure.
But it's Final Fantasy World, and that's pretty cool.
That's the thing I'm loving about it, is that it is just so creative all of the time, and it keeps throwing these silly things at you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. In a very fun way that a lot of that type of game doesn't.
Right.
And that the Elder Scrolls Online in particular, I remember going like playing a little bit of it and being like, I feel dry. This feels dry.
Right.
It's very high fantasy and very like, you know, which has its place in everything, and that place is at the bottom of the pile.
Yep.
No, but like, and then there's the Star Wars one where it's like, well, you got to be in the mood for that. And World of Warcraft was successful because of the same thing, because it had a bit of sense of fun about it and all of that. And Final Fantasy 14 has the best version of that. I think it's just constantly trying to make you have a good time.
Right.
Which is a good feeling from that type of game, that it gets associated so much with trying to get you to just spend time
and
enjoy yourself. So recommend playing that if you feel like it.
Yeah.
But main recommendation is do what you want.
Mm. If you can wait 2 hours.
Sometimes it hasn't been that bad even. 2 hours might even be an exaggeration for a lot of the time. And they're, you know, they're taking it down on and off to do maintenance and all that stuff at the moment. So it is just like a part of it for right now. But it really isn't that bad. Like if you start it going and then you're like, but I also have this TV show I want to watch. Mm-hmm. And you just glance over every now and again.
Yep.
You're good.
Sex and the City's back as of tonight.
Hey.
You could put that on.
Here's the new Samantha is the Final Fantasy 14 cue.
The just ultimate double up. Yeah. Sex and the City followed by some Final Fantasy 14.
But yeah, that I am going to keep playing that.
Nice.
Cool. I dabbled a little bit. Well, we all dabbled a little bit in Big Brain Academy.
Oh, yes. Brain
versus Brain.
Yep.
You can see us playing that on our YouTube channel.
Horrific court case where the two brain parents fight over their child.
Yeah. You can see it on our YouTube channel if you are a Patreon subscriber.
Yep.
Which you can go to patreon.com/filthycasualspod to be one.
Mm-hmm.
It's the coolest thing you can be.
Exactly.
Whoa, really?
Yeah.
Finally, I get to fit in. Halo's back, baby.
If you're not on there, it'll be up publicly in like Tuesday. A few days' time.
Yeah, Tuesday.
But yeah, so we all played the kind of the multiplayer component of it, which is a bunch of puzzles, little puzzles that you do.
Yep.
You set the difficulty of them. You compete against each other for points, and it's fun. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, they feel like slightly jazzed up sort of IQ test style.
Yeah,
puzzles.
Yes.
And so after we did that, I've been playing through a bit of the single player component, which is it's a lot of the same games puzzles that we were doing, but instead we had to all pick a difficulty level for it when we were playing. When you play single player, it just starts you off at the lower one, and then every few that you get right, it kind of ratchets it up. So you're trying to get as, and then more difficult it's getting, the more points you're getting. So you're kind of trying to, you know, beat your own score, set records in the single player, and then go, when you go online, the cool thing is you play against other people, but because of the way that the game is structured, you don't have to be waiting to matchmake with someone live. You're playing against someone else's ghost because they've already done the puzzle, so it's all there.
Spooky.
Yeah.
This person's dead? I don't want to mess with that sort of shit.
Haunted.
Fucking hell.
And if you can spend an entire round
I don't accept the negative energy coming from this comment. I don't take it into my life.
If you spend an entire round in this haunted Nintendo Switch, you get to keep it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's pretty cool. Can I bring my big dog along?
Clifford? Sure. And so, yeah, it's kind of a cool way of doing like an online competitive component of this where you don't have to sit and wait to matchmake with someone to just play some dumb little puzzles with them. It's like, yeah, it's just registered from them playing at the single player. It's put it online, you compete against them and you get little extra points and stuff for doing that and have little daily challenges.
That means, hypothetically, there is one person out there who is officially the dumbest person in the world at this game.
Yeah.
If it's everyone kind of versus everyone and it ranks you like that.
Sort of.
There'd be one person who's the dumbest
ever. All the worst results, yeah.
That would be very funny for Nintendo's whole thing is like we have to really protect people's with their online stuff. They're very like, you know, you have to have friend codes and we really need to protect people's integrity online. But then they have this game come out where they're like, this is the dumbest person playing this game.
We've protected everyone's identity except for this dunce who probably fuck it up themselves anyway. So whatever.
T Allsop. That's it. That is.
That's me getting absolutely destroyed at Big Brain Academy.
That makes me want to get it. I like that single player progression.
Yeah.
And I also do, I like that online thing as well.
Yeah, it's
a cheaper
cool.
one. Right, it was. I saw it in the shop today. It was like $39.
Oh yeah,
or
okay.
Right,
cool.
Yeah,
it's
that's worth it as well for the multiplayer. Even like that was really fun. That is a fun party game.
Well, we were saying it's one of those cool ones where you could play it with anyone, regardless of their game experience. There's no things that you need to say of like, oh, you even Mario Kart, something that is one of the more widely accessible party games. You still have to know, you know, this button to accelerate and then this button to shoot and people are going to forget. This is just, it's all
forward,
there.
What? Yeah. What's going on? Who's Mario?
Am I supposed to drive on the left-hand side or the right-hand side? What country is it taking place in?
Yeah. Wearing a seatbelt.
I don't have a license anymore.
I'm hungry.
I hate Italians.
But yeah, I'd recommend it. It's fun.
Yeah,
It's a fun little fun little pick up and play knock around. It's in the same kind of vein as like a WarioWare get it together. Quick little mini games, pretty disposable fun. But good little party game.
Nice,
great.
Well, that's going to do us for this week. Thanks very much for joining us, everyone. We will be back next week to talk the Game Awards.
Yeah,
Jeff Keighley presents. Bic super razors.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
What was it called?
The Schick Hydro Bot.
The Schick Hydro Bot. That's right. Apparently 4 to 5 big announcements on the scale of Elden Ring, he reckons.
Let's put in a quick prediction for what's going to win.
Oh, shit.
The biggest one of all.
Oh.
The game.
Oh, game of the year?
Yeah.
Deathloop.
Deathloop.
I think It Takes Two, but I won't agree.
Okay.
But I think that's going to win.
What's nominated? What have been the big games?
Deathloop, It Takes Two, Ratchet, Resident Evil Village, and there were
maybe Ratchet,
couple others as well.
Yeah,
I don't remember the others.
I wonder whichever company is paid the most to be the winner could be Resident Evil Village.
Maybe, but could that would be surprising. I think this one is voted on by journalists.
Okay, that's good.
I think that's the case with the Game Awards.
Yeah.
I
think Deathloop should win.
Have you not cast your vote yet? Did you not respond to Jeff's email?
I didn't get an email.
Oh, from
Who's Jeff's email?
King.
Okay, that'll do it. we'll reflect on these award wins next week. And probably, yes, all the massive announcements.
There's always big
come.
Stuff at that now. Yeah. Like the fucking Xbox Series X got announced there 2 years ago. Remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Apparently a Sonic game is going to be revealed.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
About time they made a game out of that guy.
I know.
Wow, we're going to get the Sonic announcement and then 4 or 5 big announcements as well. That's exciting. filthycasuals.com.au. You can find the links to all the other stuff we do. The Patreon, as we mentioned, you can get early access to the videos, get a bonus episode every week where we talk about other stuff.
We're doing Detroit Become Human. We're doing a Let's Play. There'll be 1 week off and then all weeks back on for that one. My sister is enjoying it.
Cool. Oh, that's good.
Yes.
Shame that you're giving her present to Tommy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll just tell her that a new episode of Detroit Become Human is coming out. That'll
Happy
make
Christmas.
Up for it.
We'll dedicate an episode to her.
Yeah.
You can also find the links to our Bandcamp premium episodes on there where we do deep dives into franchises or companies. They go for 3 hours quite often. They pay what you want. Thanks very much for listening. We'll see you next time, as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
You say hello, halo, fuck. We say goodbye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.